This morning's public reading, our second reading, comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John's Gospel, chapter 16. Again, we're still in that upper room, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, probably even 17, because by chapter 17, Jesus takes the apostolic band and they move up to the Mount of Olives where he will eventually be arrested. John chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 19 to the end. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and you shall see me. So that phrase that Jesus gave earlier in our reading has caused them to almost hesitate, like, what does that mean? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned unto joy. A woman, when she is in travail, had sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. So that's the implication of what? Well, the resurrection. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take it from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, and your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. Now notice, Jesus is telling them and you and I that Jesus spoke in such a way that prior to the cross, his disciples were not going to be able to connect all the dots. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. Now allow me to get three steps ahead of myself on the New Testament canon. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, by implication, this verse and these words would have to include the New Testament canon yet to be written. I'll read it again. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall, that's future, show you guys plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall not say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly. They're claiming that the light bulb has gone off, but not really. And speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is, that ye shall be scattered every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Well, there goes your prosperity teaching. But be of good cheer. Why? Why am I to be of good cheer, knowing I'm going to go through a rough time, like Psalm 88? Because he has overcome the world. Please be seated. Let's make a few comments. So when we come to verse 29, again, we have to We can't be too critical of the apostles because, beloved, if you and I are to be honest, there are times and seasons we act just like them in our understanding. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Okay, they're really, you know, putting out their chest, you know, thumping it like King Kong. Okay, all right, Lord, we kind of get the drift. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things. Well, that's true. And needest not that any man should ask thee. Okay. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Okay, they got a few things there. I mean, they're kind of flying pretty good. But then notice how Jesus says, Do you now believe? I bet that must have caught them off guard. Let me show you how they really didn't understand. Even in verse 29 and 30. He says, Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come. You may want to underline, because John's gospel is the only gospel out of the four that constantly uses that little phrase, his hour was not yet. His time was not yet. He even told his mother there at the wedding in John chapter 2 when she said, Son, they've ran out of wine and the wedding's not over. He says, Woman, my time is not yet. Okay, but here he says what? It's arrived. Destiny at the cross. That ye shall be scattered. Well, beloved, if they really got the handle in verse 29 to verse 30, they would not have scattered there in the garden to save their own skin. Every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. You're going to leave me abandoned. You're going to leave me an orphan. And yet I am not alone, because the Father's with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, okay, Psalm 88, ye shall have tribulation. You're going to have troubles. It may be a family member. It may be a neighbor, a co-worker. It may be the untrustworthy car that doesn't want to kick over and to get you to work on time. Or it could be the government harassing you because you are too much like Jesus. Be of good courage. Be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. Now here's another proof that John wrote, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. There are Christian scholars, now get this, there are Christian scholars who tell us that the John of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John and the John of the book of Revelation was not the Apostle John, because they're liberal. Notice the word overcome. I dare you. When you got nothing to do this afternoon other than having a good meal and maybe a refreshing nap, go to 1 John, just those 5 chapters, and just scan with your eyes and underline the number of times Paul uses the word overcome or overcomer. John, 1 John 5. Well, 1 John, all 5 chapters. Overcome. That is an indicator that whoever wrote this gospel, I believe, is the Apostle John. These writers had their own unique style of writing. They were not robots, and they were not gingerbread cut out of the same dough. These were men with their own understanding, their own wisdom, their own nuance, their own language of how to put words and sentences together. God did not erase that. He used that. And John is the one in his first epistle. He just uses and bangs to death the word overcome or overcomer. I want you to check that out. Check that out. Well, once again, in verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. A proverb. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I will show you plainly of the Father. And I believe by inference, just by association with those words, we are anticipating the New Testament canon that will eventually be written, listen, by some of the men that would scatter that night for fear. How's that grab you? So when you think that God cannot use you, because you're not smart enough, you're not gifted enough, you're not a good speaker, you feel timid, you feel so inadequate, please stop and think that God used a bunch of scared men hiding in an upper room to unleash the seed of God's word across an entire Roman Empire, and they changed that empire. By the 5th century, 500 years after Jesus was long gone in his glory, the Christian community was so strong in the fading of the Roman Empire at that time that all the bloody gladiatorial games where blood was shed like water was totally abolished because of the influence of Christians. Because of the church, the true churches, the light and the salt that they had permeated the culture, people eventually got sick and tired of seeing men on the ground swimming in their intestines. The church had enough influence to say enough, and the pagan community backed off a contribution to God's people. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.